Hello, and welcome to the Queen's Access podcast. It's so lovely to have you here, and I hope you find this a useful resource in learning more about life at Oxford, but more specifically about life at the Queen's College. My guests this week are Marta van der Graaf, who's just finished her third year studying German, and Esme Weeks, who's just finished her third year studying medicine. We'll have a chat about general life in college and go through some very important FAQs. My apologies for any poor audio, these interviews have all been conducted over Zoom and the internet connection isn't always completely reliable. For a transcript of this episode, please visit the Queen's website. I hope you enjoy.
Hi guys, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you guys taking time out to do this podcast. I'm sure you'll be really interesting guests and I'm sure this will be really helpful for all the listeners. First of all, could we just start by each of you telling me a little bit about your Queen's journey? So how you ended up at college. Marta, can you start us off please?
Yes, I kind of never really thought that I would go to Oxford, and I went to the open day just to see, to dream. And Queen's is actually the first college I went to. And I just loved it so much. Everyone there was so friendly. And then I went to loads of other colleges afterwards. And none of them really compared. And then I went through the interview process and I don't know, was a little bit scared and then got an offer. I've really loved it so far. I love Queen so much.
Oh, fantastic. And Esme, how about you?
Mine's a very different story to Marta's. So I actually didn't look around Queen's at any of the open, well, I only went to one open day, but I didn't look around Queen's. I looked around a few other colleges, thought they were all really nice, really pretty, but I hadn't really set my sites on one. And I think I randomly picked Pembroke, and I put the Pembroke, I thought I was applying to Pembroke, and I haven't ever told my tutors this, but I accidentally applied to Queen's instead on UCAS. and then I was kind of like, well, too late, whatever, I wasn't really that set on any anyway. But then when I came to interview, I fell in love with it. I thought it was so beautiful, such a nice location, and I remember just being like really in awe of it and like amazed when I came for interviews. And then it's been, you know, such a happy mistake. I absolutely love Queen's, so yeah, but my tutors don't know that.
I love that. I've never heard, we've had people be like, yeah, I got pulled, yeah, I got an open offer. We've never had anyone say, I just clicked the wrong box on UCAS. I love that. That's amazing. Perfect. So we'll get into the main kind of like topic for this episode, which is, I called it domestic life, but it's basically just a lot of the frequently asked questions about what it's like to actually live in college and kind of the practicalities of living here. So first of all, Marta, do you mind explaining just how accommodation works at Queen's and letting me know a little bit about what your experience has been like of college accommodation?
Yeah, so Queen's actually provides accommodation the whole way through. Not all colleges do, but Queen's does, which is really nice. Me and Esme had a bit of a different situation than freshers do now, because we lived in the old building, but freshers now live either in college or in the building next to college. And then in second year, you either live, you still live super centrally, but you live a little bit further away from college, like a 10-minute walk. So either like down the road in Cowley or like in another building called St Aldate's. And then in your final year, you can also go back to college or live in St Aldate's. College accommodation has been really great so far. I think what I've loved about it is, especially, so I lived in the Cardo building in my second year, which is the one in Cowley, and it's just really nice. And you live with like 50 people, so it's quite like a nice community. I've never actually lived in college, but I'm sure it is really nice. I'm sure it's really nice to live in college. It's like a really positive experience.
Oh, brilliant. Do you want to explain a little bit about how the room ballot works?
Yeah, so the room ballot is basically a way that the students make it fair to live in college route to like who gets what college room. So in first year, you kind of get randomly assigned a room, so it's kind of like lucky if you get a good room or not. And then in second and your final year, you get put into a ballot. So in second year, you kind of get randomly assigned a place. You might be like really high up, which means you get first pick in second year, or you might be really low down, which means you get last pick. But basically what happens Athens to make it fair is that the ballot flips around, so that if in second year you got first pick, it means that in final year you get last pick. So it kind of means that basically everyone gets a fairly similar standard of college accommodation. So yeah, and you kind of have like a day where everyone sits and you all look on this Google document to see who's got what room, and yeah, it's a good system.
Yeah, it is. And I think that was one of the things that highlighted to me about Queen's on the open day. I went to some other colleges that tier their accommodation. So they might have kind of A to G tier, and it's all different prices depending on where you want to live. And that can be good because that follows the ethos of you get what you pay for. But equally, the fact that everybody pays the same base rent at Queen's means there's no kind of like socioeconomic hierarchy in terms of where anyone lives, because it's all just to do with what position you got on the ballot. And also it is worth noting that you can swap positions on the ballot with somebody before rooms have been allocated. You can only swap in second year, but you can decide to be higher up or lower down depending on where would be best to work for you. So for example, someone I know swapped higher up the ballot because they go to a department that's like a really particularly far walk from Cardo, just because it's in exactly the opposite direction. So they swapped to move further up in order to get into St Aldate's in second year, but they've also now forfeited potentially the chance of getting a college room in third year. So like Marta was saying, it's just kind of a way up, and it's a way the students make sure that it's a fair system for everybody.
It's probably also worth it as well that you can live out. So like both Esme and I are living out next year. So even though college provides the rooms, like there is still the option to live out, which I know that quite a lot of people might want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And because I'm doing a integrated master's, so because my fourth year's research, I'll likely be living out as well. And yeah, I think it's nice because with the fallback on college accommodation, you don't have the stress of having to move out somebody somewhere. So you only move out if you want to, and if you find people that you want to live with. So I feel like people generally find living out a more pleasant experience than they might do at other universities where they don't get the option.
Yeah, 100%. And especially because there's no pressure in first year to make loads of friends, to find people to live with in second year.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes the pressure off a bit.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember when I first started at Queen's, I had no idea what was meant to happen to my post. And this sounds like a really small thing, but when I had like distant relatives being like, oh, I want to send you a congratulations card, like, well done. I was like, do I put my room number on? Like, will I have a letterbox? How does this work? Because I saw all my other university friends giving me like flat numbers and things like that. And I was like, how on earth does this work? So Esme, do you mind explaining a little bit about how the post system works in college and just generally what the role of the porters is?
Yeah, so it is actually a really confusing one. Like you said, you don't really get like a flat number to send your post to. No matter where you're living in college accommodation, if you're in the main college site or one of the annex buildings, all of your posts will get directed to the main college site. And it's picked up here and sorted into a special room. There's two rooms. There's a room for kind of letters and a room for parcels. And that's kind of collectively called the pidges. And these are kind of like pigeonholes that have your name on it and your letters get slotted into. And that's kind of great because it means that stuff can arrive at any time. And the porters, who I'll talk about in a second, will pick up and sort out the post. So you don't need to put any specific details other than your name and the college and the college address, which is great, really. And it meant that you could order parcels for any time of the day and you wouldn't have to be in and waiting for them, which is quite handy and which I'll miss when I'm living out. And then porters, who I mentioned before, are kind of like the gatekeepers almost of the college. So they sit in what's called the porter's lodge, right at the entrance of the main college. And they're kind of a first port of call for any general inquiries, so they can direct you to all sorts of other people in the office in the college if you need specific things. They take the post. They are responsible for booking of rooms within college if you need to hire out a music practice room, for example, or use all of the sports facilities that needs to be booked. And they're there 24/7 as well, so they kind of have a security purpose as well, and that if you're within college or ever in central Oxford, they're a port of call for you to go to if you're in distress or just need have any kind of security concerns. So yeah, they're really, really useful figures around college and very friendly too.
Yeah, they are. They're all really, really nice. So Marta, do you mind talking listeners through the process of moving in? Because it's kind of crazy. I remember doing it for the first time and a swarm of second years descended on my dad's car to help move my stuff in. And it's all a bit mental. And also what you can and can't take to college accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a bit, so when you're moving into college, it's quite difficult because there's not very much space to park the cars. So I remember when I was a second year and I was helping all the freshers like quickly unload the stuff from the car. So basically you have a system, so you can come in at like a specific time and then you can kind of, people help you unload when you first arrive, or at least when you first arrive as a fresher. And then you can go park, like your parents can go park somewhere else. Yeah, and then I don't really know how it works. It's because there isn't really much space for people to park, but somehow it all works quite smoothly. Yeah, and then stuff that you can and can't take. I mean, I don't know, like maybe, so you probably can't really take like electrics, like specific electricals and stuff. So like microwaves, like you have to get permission to be able to take microwaves and stuff. You obviously can't have like candles. Basically like fire hazards in short. And then, I don't know, Esme, can you think of any other things you can't take?
No, I think that's mainly it. I have heard stories of people trying to sneak like hot plates and grills in, and I would say that's probably not a good idea, especially as Queen's is trying to like improve the cooking facilities, which I think we'll talk about in a bit. But apart from, yeah, fire hazards is a pretty good way to put it. Yeah, I think be sensible, and also you do get some like information pack, and it is in there the specific things that are prohibited. If you are or about anything, you can check it in there when you get kind of that information pack.
Yeah, perfect. I think as well, yeah, it's worth checking that information, like not regularly, but yeah, each time you move in potentially, because I moved in Freshers Week with my brand new shiny toaster that I got on offer at Asda. And then in like fourth week, they were like, yep, toasters are now banned. Take your toasters home. You can't have a toaster anymore. And I was like, that's sad, isn't it? So sometimes things can, the requirements kind of alter depending on kind of what they believe is like, yeah, any kind of risk, probably fire hazards are the main thing.
Definitely be okay. But I think they've changed their mind on toasters in rooms.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate for me. Okay, perfect. So Esme, do you mind walking us through like how healthcare works as an Oxford student and where you go if something's gone wrong?
Yeah, perfect. So there's kind of two main ports of call at Queen's. One of your first one, if it's kind of more of a minor concern or less immediate or needing specific doctor's attention, we have a college nurse who is on site on set days of the week. I think those are subject to change sometimes, but you do get told and it's made clear when you arrive and also if those times ever change, which mornings or afternoons the college nurse is available. And you can pop into her in her room on site, which is one of the things that again gets pointed out when you start. And she can help with any kind of minor concerns or niggling things. Or if you're not sure where you should go next, she can direct you to other services, which is great for all sorts of things. And she is also available by email. So that's the first very helpful thing. And then also every student in Oxford, sorry, will be assigned to a GP practice through their college. And different colleges are associated or affiliated with different GP surgeries around Oxford. Ours is on Beaumont Street, which isn't too far from the college, and it's a really nice practice. There's some really nice doctors there. And when you first register with Oxford University, you're encouraged to register with that GP surgery there and then. And it's part of the registration process. And it's really strongly encouraged that you do register with your college doctor, because it means that you've got a port of call for a GP very immediately in Oxford for any health concerns. And I know people might be a bit concerned about then being able to access a doctor back at home during the vax. I've had no issues with that. I've been able to register back as a temporary patient at home really easily, be seen just as easily. But it means that when you move to Oxford and you're in a new place, you're already set up with access to a GP if you need it.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the great things about Beaumont Street as well is it's huge, and it has a full nurses station as well. So sometimes even if the doctors are all fully booked, if you don't need something that necessarily requires a doctor, you can go to the nurse's station and they have like a lot of appointments available. So I've been there a couple of times with like fresh as flu kind of things, just for them to check if I've got a chest infection or anything like that. And they're really good for that. And they have an in-house pharmacist as well, who can sort anything out. And then in terms of the other services, Oxford has like a lot of sexual health services, the same as kind of any big city would. So there's different sexual health clinics. You can also go to either the college nurse or to Beaumont Street if you have any kind of concern. I believe the college nurse can prescribe contraception. That is within her remit, so she can help you with that. And also there's a student dental service called Studental that's on the Oxford Brookes campus, and you can register there for an emergency appointment as a temporary patient. So I had a wisdom tooth infection last term, which was upsetting for me, but thankfully rather admin free. And I went online and booked my appointment there and just got a bus to Brookes. And yeah, that was really, really simple and easy to sort out. So I didn't have to worry about registering as like a permanent patient at a dentist in Oxford, because I tend to have my checkups at home. But yeah, you can, if any, you have any kind of immediate dental concerns, that is always there. So if ever you've been to Oxford, either like on an open day or anything like that, you probably have heard people referencing bod cards. So Marta, can you explain the importance of a bod card and what you actually need it for?
Yeah, so bod cards are kind of, you just need it for everything in Oxford, which is kind of annoying because I lose mine all the time. I think I've had 3 bod cards and 2 of mine broke as well. But basically they just are like little cards that you use to get into the library. So the bod is referring to like the Bodleian, so like the library. So it's technically a library card, but you kind of just use it for everything. So like you can use it to take out books and to like get into the library and stuff, but also to pay for college lunch, to pay for drinks at beer cellar. Yeah, to like get into various college buildings. It's kind of like your little pass to show that you go to Oxford and that like gives you access to everything. So yeah, pretty important card.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, pick a good photo. I chose my passport photo and it's not flattering. And I didn't realise that you are actually allowed to smile on a bod card photo. And now I wish I'd taken a separate one. I was not aware of this when I submitted my photo. So Esme, do you mind talking us through kind of the 2 major domestic concerns that tend to hit students when they're going to university? So laundry and cooking.
Yeah, so laundry, there's a designated room in each annex, or in the main college site, there's also a big laundry room as well. I think there's a few washers and a few dryers in each of those rooms, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually it's quite easy to find time to do laundry. It's never like you don't have to wait too long. It's done through an app called Circuit Laundry. So you get the app on a tablet or a phone, and you upload, you like put some money in your account on the Circuit Laundry app, and then you just use the app to scan a QR code on the washer or dryer, and then that'll set it off for you. It's quite self-explanatory. And like in each of the laundry rooms, there's posters that explain how to use the QR codes and stuff for the first time if you're a bit confused or not super familiar with it. I think at the minute it's £2.10 for a standard wash and £1.40 for a dry. Which again sounds like a lot, but I found you can put 2 loads of washing into 1 dryer because the dryers have more space. So it's not too bad. And they are very, very big washing machines, which meant sometimes I would save up loads of washing and just do it all in one go to save costs. And it's an easy system to use. The only hesitation I would say is you get like a timer on the app that tells you how much longer there is for your washing, and sometimes if you're not very quick at the end of that timer to pick up your washing, people that want to use the machines will take your stuff out. So I found that you have to get in there kind of quick and move it, but I think that's the same anywhere you go as a student. And then cooking, it really varies depending on where you're living. In the main college site, there's 1 small kitchen which doesn't have an oven, but it has some hobs. I know a lot of the freshers this year did a lot of cooking in there, and you can make some really nice meals in there. It's also got a grill, and it's right next to the common room. So a lot of people would cook in there and then eat in the evenings together, which is really nice, especially now that freshers are living on the main college site. And then in the other annex, again, it varies. So the Cardo building has one slightly better equipped kitchen with more hobs and an oven, but that's still a communal kitchen. And then the St. Aldate's House building has several kitchens that are kind of shared between maybe 6 and 10 rooms, something like that. So it's more individual kitchens, if that makes sense. And then the other kitchens are more communal. So yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. That was a really good explanation. Thank you. So Marta, matriculation is a really traditional ceremony, and it often massively confuses people, especially freshers, before they've actually done it. So can you explain what it is and what your experience of it was?
Yeah, it's basically just a really fun day where you get to officially become a member of Oxford. So I think you kind of spend like 2 weeks in Oxford where you're not like officially a member, and then on matriculation day you are officially a student. And basically all that happens is that you dress up in what's called your subfusc, which is like a white, for girls it's like white blouse, black ribbon, your gown, and like black bottoms. And for guys, I think it's like white tie kind of, like I don't really know what they wear, but like a little white bow tie and like a suit kind of thing. And yes, yeah, so you get all dressed up, you have your photo taken in college, and then you go to the Sheldonian Theatre, which is like around the corner from Queen's, and you have this like weird ceremony in Latin, which I don't know, it's really short. It's like, I don't know, I think it's like 10 minutes or something. Wait, am I remembering it wrong? Is it 10 minutes?
It's really short.
Yeah. Yeah. Like really short. Yeah, and then after that you're kind of like free to go anywhere. So like I think we just went to Spoons, or like some people obviously didn't, but basically we just spent ages like hanging around Oxford. And then yeah, just a really fun day. And like I actually made some really good friends on that day as well. So yeah, it's really good.
Oh, fantastic. Esme, what was your experience of matriculation like?
Kind of similar. So yeah, the ceremony itself is very short, but it's quite exciting to get all dressed up in the morning, kind of it's the first time you're properly kitted out in the subfusc, which is an unusual but quite an exciting experience. And you get your photo taken, and it's nice to look back on that as a recently finished third year who's like moving on to clinical school for medicine. And it's kind of fun to look back at me just starting as I'm about to start a new chapter and kind of see where I've come from. And you get like a really nice picture. They get professional photographers in to come and take pictures of everyone. And then there's also like a big group photo of everyone that's matriculating that year from the college. Kind of like school photo day, but with fancy clothes. And then, as Marta said, like it's so nice to then spend that afternoon with your kind of new peers, exploring Oxford a little bit, getting to chat to everyone. It feels like quite a celebration, even though you've kind of just started, but it feels like quite a good rite of passage. And to university. So yeah, that would be my experience.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I remember like being so shocked when my college parents said like, oh, as a general rule, nobody works on matriculation. And I was like, wow, that's so exciting. Yeah, I'd say to say I did not pull out a textbook on matriculation. too busy having fun. Yeah, and then one of the final things I just wanted to mention is to do with financial support. So I'm not going to go super in depth with it, but I would encourage you, if you're looking for anything to do with financial support, the Queen's website's absolutely fab in terms of going into stuff that's Queen specific. So things like book grants, travel grants, all that kind of thing. If you live more than, I believe, 160 miles outside of college, I know that whatever it is, I'm just over it. Maybe it's 150. If you live X amount of miles outside of college, you get given a travel grant every term. Which you can use to go back, and they don't check if you go back or not, so that's nice. And yeah, there's like a book grant where you can get money off textbooks that you buy. There's different kind of grants for you can apply to if you have some kind of like passion project that you'd like to fulfill. And then university wide, it's really worth looking into a lot of the really generous bursaries available. So I'm on the Crank Start Scholarship, which is a super generous bursary for low-income students. There's also the Lloyd Scholarship. So if you are concerned or just wanting to know a little bit more about financing your way through Oxford, there are tons of resources available online. And I also mention it in my profile on the Ambassador platform on the Queen's website. So if you have any questions, you can message me directly on there and I can signpost you to any kind of financial resources that you might be after. So thank you so much, guys. That was great, you provided loads of information. As a closing question, I'd just like to find out from you both, what is your favourite thing about college and why? So Marta, can you start us off?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think just like general college life. So like I played college football. I might say college football. College football is so much fun. just like the community of Queens. So like college football is part of that. So you have like Santa dinner, which is this crazy dinner where everyone dresses up as Santa and you all go out. So there's like 90 Santas walking around Oxford in November, which is pretty funny. And then you have like really nice back tie dinner. And then you go on tour to Cambridge as well. So I just love it. I've got so much from college football and like, it's just really fun to get to know people from other years as well, because Queens is quite small. Like, and then through football, I could just get to know people in the year below. And like, yeah, I'd say that's probably my favorite thing.
Oh, fab. How about you, Esme?
Well, I kind of agree on the general community side. Queens has a lovely community, but to extend on that and maybe say something a bit more different, a bit more practical, it's really nice being in such a pretty central college that isn't open to tourists, kind of from a practical level. I know a lot of the bigger colleges like Christchurch and Trinity have tourists kind of walking in and out throughout the day, and that's fine. And I think, you know, some people that doesn't bother them, but for me that's really nice to have this kind of, it's like almost like a mini little, you walk in from the really bustling high street and then there's this beautiful building full of people that you know, and kind of it feels like a very welcoming place to walk into, and conveniently it's located right in the middle of high street. So yeah, that would probably be a couple of my favorite things.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point about the tourists. That was a really big pull for me, was yeah, and that's something the porters deal with as well. They do not let tourists pass those gates, so yeah, that can be really, really good. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for both speaking to me. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody who listened learned absolutely loads. And yeah, thank you so much, and I'll speak to you guys soon.
Thank you so much to Marta and Esme for that amazing conversation, and a massive thank you to all of you who listened. There are loads more Access resources on the Queen's College website at www.queens.ox.ac.uk/access-outreach, and you can find out more about the college in general through its website, Twitter and Instagram, including on the Access Twitter @Queen's Outreach. That's all from me. Have a lovely week, and hopefully I'll see you again soon.